Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. But first, here's the message, Good, Good Father.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the 8th chapter of Romans, the great 8th. The 8th chapter of Romans. This is our essential gospel series. In times like these, we need to know the good news of Jesus Christ and how he can change everything. The change breaker, the chain breaker, the way maker. He's all that we need. And the title of this message today from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 is Good, Good Father. I read recently that 67% of professing Christians, people who say, I'm born again, so-called evangelical Christians, 67% said that the Holy Spirit is not a real living being. So between 60 and 70%, many who are churchgoers, church members, are saying that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power, or maybe a symbol of God's presence, or perhaps a symbol of his influence, an it, if you will, a force in people's lives. Nothing could be more counter to the Scriptures than that idea. Because God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. He is the great three in one, and the Holy Spirit is God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It certainly must grieve the Spirit of God to be neglected or to be misunderstood or misrepresented. It certainly must quench the Holy Spirit to suggest in any way that he is not real, that he is not present, that he is not alive. Here's a quote from a great theologian. Religion is what happens when God has left the building. That great theologian is Bono. I don't know about a theologian, but he got that right. Religion is what happens when the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, has left the building. And that's why so many Christians are defeated and so many churches are dying. No presence, no life, no leadership and power of the Holy Spirit. So Romans chapter 8, this blessed chapter, one of the great chapters, some say the greatest chapter in all the Bible if you could compare them. This 8th chapter of Romans is all about this life in the Spirit. In the Spirit and the presence of God. We have seen that this presence of Jesus is alive in us, that we are walking in the Spirit, that his Spirit is with us always. Verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified in him." Yes, pain is always a part of the process of walking in the Spirit and being led by the Spirit of God. Right in the heart of this passage are these words that we now cry, Abba, Father. He's a good, good Father. The Holy Spirit. The fact that we are led by the Spirit who assures us of our salvation, that we are a part of the forever family of God, that we are the sons and daughters, the children of God who has adopted us into his family forever. The fact is, you have the Holy Spirit if you have Christ in your life. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the children of God. He earlier said in Romans chapter 8, Paul, that is, that if anyone has not the Spirit, he is none of his. So if you do not have the Holy Spirit in your life, you do not belong to God. You have the Holy Spirit if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, a follower in Jesus. But the question is he persuasive? Is he powerful in your life? I know that Christ is in me because his Spirit testifies to the reality and the security of his love and his grace in my life. Now, just to review quickly, in chapter 8, we discovered that because of the work of the Holy Spirit in Christ and this salvation, we are no longer condemned by sin. We are now no longer condemned. No sin, no shame, no longer living under the condemnation of the law or of life and the beatdowns of life without God. We are no longer in condemnation by sin, and we are no longer, therefore, controlled by sin. As we've walked our way through Romans 8, we've discovered that we are no longer to be dominated. We don't have to live in the old life, that the flesh which stays with us is overcome by the Spirit of God as we yield to the Spirit, as we feed the presence of the Spirit in our lives. So we are no longer controlled. We are no longer condemned. And what we're going to see today is, therefore, we no longer continue in sin because we are led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is real, and he is relevant to your life today and every day if you are a follower of Jesus. So the first thing that I want to show you in this text is that we are led by the Spirit. That's 14, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Because we are his children, therefore we live by his leading. Now, the primary focus here of being led of the Spirit is not the general direction of our lives. Certainly that's included in the work and ministry of the Spirit in us, but primarily this is talking about what he's been saying earlier, in that we are now being sanctified. We are no longer continuing in sin. Now we are being led by the Spirit. We're not led around by the flesh. We are now led by the Spirit. He leads us. And I want to mention five ways that we are led by the Spirit as the children of God. Number one, connecting us. The Spirit of God connects us to God. His Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, enables us to know God, to have a personal relationship with Christ himself. It was the Apostle Paul who said, "It is no longer I, but Christ who lives in me." So we have this relationship with God because of this work and witness of the Holy Spirit within us. The Holy Spirit leads us by connecting us. Secondly, perfecting us. The Holy Spirit leads us by perfecting us. Philippians 1:6 says, "He who began the good work in you will perfect it, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." That's the idea of maturing, perfecting us, making us more and more like Jesus. As I was saying, the whole point of the sanctification, or Romans chapter 8, is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So he is perfecting us, maturing us, making us more like Jesus, more Christ-like, more God-like. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is not our work. I can't, but he can. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit leads us not only by connecting us and perfecting us, but by protecting us. And what I mean by that is the Holy Spirit guides us and guards us. His living presence around us protects us from evil and the evil one. We are confident that he is keeping us and protecting us, and that there is this security of our faith in Christ because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I can't hold on, but he holds on to me. The perfecting work and the protecting work. Fourthly, correcting us. correcting us. It is the Holy Spirit who may prod as you're reading the scripture and provoke you to see your own sin and to confess it and to turn from it. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to show you purity of life and holiness of life, and therefore correcting us. It's in one sense like coaching us. You know, a good coach never berates his players or her players, but a good coach is correcting in the right way. I can remember many times when I was playing sports that a really good coach shows you the way to make the play, not just what you didn't do wrong. And so he's correcting us, he's coaching us, and the Holy Spirit right now may be moving in your life because there are areas of your life that are weak or wounded or willfully disobedient to God. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you of that and calling you to repentance, correcting. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. And then, of course, directing us. Directing us. The scripture says in the book of Proverbs, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And God, in his presence, by his Spirit, is directing us to know and to do his will. So the Holy Spirit is speaking. The question is, are you listening?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Good, Good Father. God is moving through PowerPoint, and your support to finish the year strong by June 30th means reaching more people with the hope of the gospel in the months ahead. That's why we're excited to tell you about a generous matching grant, which doubles your gift to help anchor more people in God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ. As thanks for your support, we'll send you a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. These are the last days to have your gift doubled, so call today at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Good, Good Father.
There are two primary ways that God speaks to us as believers. Objectively, God speaks to us through his word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you are reading the scriptures and meditating upon God's word, this is the Spirit of God speaking to you. But the Holy Spirit also not only leads us objectively, this is inspiration and revelation from God, but he leads us subjectively, inwardly, internally, and that's called illumination. God has revealed himself. He does it in creation. He does it in nature, the wonders of what he has made and is making. But then God has revealed himself perfectly in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "You have seen me, you have seen the Father." He is the living Word of God. God showed up in the person of Christ, and the Word was with us. God was with us, and that's Jesus. So that's revelation, and then inspiration is God has preserved his word, has protected his word. He has prompted us to know and love his word, and therefore this is inspiration. But it's possible to hear the word of God, even right now, to hear it preached and to read the word of God. It's words, the living word of God. It's possible to read it, to hear it, even to know it at some level, and yet not hear the Spirit speaking in God's word. What did Jesus say to the churches in Revelation? "He that hath ears to hear, listen to what the Spirit says." So always, when you're opening God's Word, ask God to open your heart to what the Spirit is saying. And the Spirit is speaking. And the Holy Spirit speaks internally. Now, what God says internally by His Spirit will always square with Scripture. But there are many things that God may show us to do, that the Spirit may lead us to do, where there's no verse and number on it. Who am I to marry? Should I take that job or not? But what we have are principles in God's words and precepts in God's words and promises in God's word. And these principles are used by the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to know and do God's will in our lives. The questions that I get most often as a pastor over all these years is something about what should I do next? What should I do now? Where should I go? Who should I marry? What's God's will for my life? Well, God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to know and do His will, assuming that you want to do it. Don't expect God to show you His will and then you debate or decide whether you're going to do it or not. If you sincerely say, not my will, but your will be done, O God, then the Spirit of God will show you when the obvious answer is going to be yes, when the inclination is yes. I'm not saying there are not struggles at times, and at times we wrestle with things to get through it, to make sure and to know. But the fact is, if you will listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Remember, this is a believer's benefit. The Spirit of God is in you. And He's not silent. He often speaks with a still small voice, with a whisper, with a nudge, with a prompting. But you know what needs to happen? You have to be willing to turn off your technology, to shut off the noise and the screens and the racket, and find a quiet place and give God time to speak to you. Because I assure you, He will speak to you if you're listening. It's important that you don't get ahead of God. God sometimes directs us with delays and sometimes denials and other times detours and even dead ends. But stay in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. This is Psalm 37, 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, a righteous man or woman. God is orchestrating and organizing and ordering our steps. So stay in step with Him, knowing that if you fall down or slip up, that He's going to pick you up, at times even carry you. But His Spirit is leading you always, always, always. Secondly, we are liberated by the Spirit. And that's the scripture which we just read, which says, verse 15, I'm reading this now in the New Living, so that you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. You are now liberated, set free, because the Spirit is not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power and a sound mind, as the Scripture says. And therefore, because we have life and we are liberated from our past, we are liberated in the present from the power and the clutches of sin and Satan, we are no longer slaves. We are sons and daughters of God. This is one of the most brilliant and beautiful scriptures in all of the Word of God. No longer slaves. God is Father, and you have been elevated and lifted to this status of being an adopted child of God. F.F. Bruce said this, a great Bible scholar, "The term adoption may smack somewhat of artificiality in our ears, but in the first century A.D., an adopted son was a son deliberately chosen by his adoptive father to perpetuate his name and inherit his estate. He was no whit inferior in status to a son born in the ordinary course of nature and might well enjoy the father's affection more fully and reproduce the father's character more worthily." So look at it this way. It is in our adoptions as sons and daughters of God that our God becomes a filial, a father to us, strengthening us as his children, that he is no longer distant or far away. One of the problems that people have today is that God seems far away. The invisible, invincible, internal work of the Spirit is to bring God up close and personal to you so that we cry out, "Abba, Father," which is Aramaic, Abba, for daddy. It's a diminutive for father. Abba, if you travel in the Middle East today, you will hear children chasing their daddies saying, "Abba, Abba, Abba." It's the word Jesus taught his disciples to use when they prayed, and all of us in the model prayer. Our Abba, Father, hallowed be your name. It was on the lips of Jesus in the garden and the great struggle and suffering, presenting himself willingly to the cross, when he said, "Abba, Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me." So the same communion that Jesus himself has with the Father in prayer, he gives to us as a blessing, as the benefit of knowing him and calling him Abba, Father. Sometimes a child runs to a parent with tears, "Abba, Abba, Abba." But here the inclination for me is to say, this is a bold declaration. This is a bold declaration. Abba, 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 because we can come boldly to the throne of grace, boldly into the presence of God. And in closing, he says this, that we are assured of this by the Spirit. For verses 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Look, I know that I know that I know that I know that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, is in my life. I know that I'm saved. Do you know this? You know it if the Spirit of God is living in you, because the Spirit of God is testifying in your spirit that you are the child of God. And you are assured for heaven as if you were already there, because the Word of God says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are heirs, heirs of the Father, and joint heirs. We share this sonship with Jesus. Now, does it get any better than that? Does it get any better than knowing that our future is secure because our Father has given us the inheritance of his Son? And then sonship. We are enriched by this. We are elevated by this. The Spirit lifts us in this. So in that sense, we are led by the Spirit, and we are liberated by the Spirit, and we are lifted by the Spirit into the very presence of God, because we know we're a child of God. And because you are a child of God, live like it, love like it. Have you noticed that people who don't know our God never call God Father? They may say, "Oh God," but we call him Father because we know him and we know he loves us. That's who he is, and that's who I am, a child of God.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Good, Good Father. Our world is confused about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Self-proclaimed social media scholars are giving their opinions about the way to God. However, many of those opinions fall short of the truth. The book of Romans outlines the gospel of Jesus and gives us a clear representation of what it means to be a Christian. To help you explore one of the most powerful books of the Bible, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal when you give a gift to PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous matching grant, your gift today is worth double to help proclaim the good news till the whole world hears. These are the last days to have your gift doubled, so call today at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
You know, Scott, we talked today about what it really means to be a child of God. And at a time when so many people need security in our world, this is a message of hope for all of us. As a son, a daughter of God, you have security in knowing that you have a heavenly Father who is faithful. You can depend upon Him because He will never, ever fail you. Perhaps you, like many people, grew up without knowing any security from your earthly parents. Today, I want to repeat that you have a heavenly Father who is faithful and unflinching in His love for you. And as His child, there is nothing, nothing you can do to make God love you any more than He already loves you, because He loves you perfectly. And there's nothing you can do to cause God to love you any less. He just loves you, His child. Remember what Romans 8, 38 and 39 say, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord." You are God's child. I hope these words from our Lord encourage you today.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word Romans to 59789. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about why the return of Christ is the greatest hope for our broken world. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.